Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. We have my friend 1986 Indy 500 winner Bobby Rahal. I'm also a three-time CART IndyCar Series champion. Talking primarily about that 1986 Indy 500 win, though. That incredible March chassis that he drove that was really the car to have. Also, Cosworth powered that year. Chevy and its partner Ilmor were just coming online. They were 2 years away from getting to Victory Circle, but that 86 year with that pretty March, that lovely chromed triangular roll hoop, just great cars, some great memories about it. So that's what we caught up with Bobby to get into that, talk about what made that car special, how he was able to use it so effectively in 1986. Got into his relationship with the great Adrian Newey, one of the world's most brilliant minds when it comes to race car design, aerodynamics in particular. A big influence on the March designs then, before he would move on to Formula One, do incredible things with Leighton House and Williams, and winning so many championships on the trot with the Red Bull team, and Sebastian Vettel, who's now working hard again to try and get them back into championship contending status. So altogether, it was just great to catch up with Bob, looking back a little over 30 years ago on that Indy 500 win, the car that helped make that possible. I also speak about his son a little bit towards the end, but just a quick celebration. We definitely have a lot more to talk about with Bob, not only about 86, but other years, and something we've been meaning to do for a while is to capture a dedicated Marshall Pruitt Podcast episode with him. Speaking of, we have a new Facebook page, which I hope you will check out, like, follow, I don't know, do all kinds of fun stuff with. So Marshall Pruitt Podcast is the very simple page that is sitting on Facebook now, where all 100 plus episodes have a home, and that's where I'm going to drop every new one first, so we have a good archive that's easily shareable and usable. So off we go with Bobby Rahal.
If we look at the 86 car, I think we kind of have to look at the 85 car, which was the first car that Adrian Newey was really 100% responsible for. You know, the 84 car had, you know, Adrian was responsible for one part of the car, somebody else responsible for, I think there were three engineers that were, kind of given the task of designing one car. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Even that, it was, of course, Adrian did a lot of work on our 84 car, where we were actually, then able to really compete against Mario and Danny in the Lola, because the Lola was clearly the better car at the time. But 85 was Adrian's first real, 100% responsible design. And then, of course, 86 yet again. And, for me, certainly, 86, after the 85 year, which we had a very good year, then Adrian left, which really bothered me to no end. I guess we weren't prepared to pay him a few more bucks at the time. And off he went to Michael at Craco. We had a great engineer. Not a lot of people know about Grant Newberry, and who was a young guy and kind of got thrust into the limelight, so to speak. And Grant, we worked well together, and we really had a good feel for that car. Those days you carried 40 gallons of fuel, and so the car would really change kind of dramatically, over the course of a fuel run. And so you really had to make a decision: where did you want the car to be best? In the beginning of the fuel run or at the end of it? We won six races that year, but we really had a good feel for what we wanted in the car for the start of the race, and it would just get better and better as the race went on. I remember Indy in 86, Rick and I, and we're racing probably from about a third of the race to the race to the end, and Rick was always faster than I was in the first part of that run, of each run after a fuel stop. But then, as the fuel load burned off, we would catch him. And that's kind of what we did all year, everywhere we went. If we were going to cheat the car a little bit, we'd always cheat it in the beginning. But you had to be careful not to burn the front tires off. In fact, I remember in Michigan in 86, where we won, you literally could not, if you leaned on the front tires, they would sunk and they just go away, you know, within a few laps.
Mm.
And we were, you know, it took, you had to be patient because it was hard to watch Michael kind of take off and run. But sure enough, you know, 10, 20 laps into the fuel run, here he comes. And so you just really, you know, you really had to know where you want the car to be best, and tune the car that way. And we were able to do that. And there's no question that's why we did as well as we did that year. It was Grant Newbury did a great job, and together the whole team, and together we really generated a lot of success.
So from a chassis standpoint, I mean, at this era, Chevy is starting to make its presence felt, isn't quite ready to win, but the Chevy Ilmor combo is knocking on everybody's door. The Buicks are there. They make a trillion horsepower and also last about five feet. You've got Lola there. You've got Penske there. What was it about your March Cosworth package that you felt either did a better job or was more consistent than the others? Was there something from behind the wheel where you said, okay, these are some attributes that make me feel confident?
Yeah. No, I think there was a couple things, Marshall. I think, you know, I think we had a good, we got to understand the car. I mean, it didn't start off great for us. You know, we had a lot of mechanical issues, and, you know, we weren't the fastest march out there by any means for races. That changed, you know, probably starting at Indy and afterwards. But we had a couple things I think going for us. Obviously, you know, we had a good feel for the car, good engineering. And we you know, our engines from the day I started in IndyCars in '82, our engines were always built by Franz Weiss.
Mm.
You know, VDS engines that later became, but, you know, Franz had been Chaparral's engine builder since the 60s, you know, with the Chaparral, with the Chevy V8s, and Franz, I think, and his guys were the best. And Mario had Franz Weiss engines as well. I'm not sure there were many others, frankly. A lot of guys were doing their own engines in those days. But we always used Franz and his group, and he, you know, I don't know if we had the most power. I mean, it certainly was, you know, it was competitive, but for sure. But I think we had more drivability, and we had certainly more reliability. And you know, in '87, when they won the championship, both we had, you know, Franz had kind of, we've done a joint venture between us and Mario, and Haas did a short stroke DFE or DFX, you know, and probably we had the best engines at the time. And I think both Mario and I think the same held true in '86. You know, Franz's guys just did a great job, and they were drivable. Was very commonsensical about how he, you know, through engine builders, they're all about the number, you know, how much power does it have? But, you know, other guys, the really good guys, are thinking a lot more than just the number. You know, what's the drivability, what's the fuel consumption, what's, you know, all these other aspects that are equally important. So I think having those engines were a big advantage for us. You know, without question, you know, I think Steve Horn was, you know, one of the best team managers at the time. We had good camaraderie within the team. And, you know, and remember in '86, you know, our team leader died right after Indy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, we had two-thirds of the championship to go. And everybody was kind of reeling a little bit, you know, that, like, wow, now what? And, but we had good, you know, support from Budweiser and all of our sponsors. And, you know, it's, you know, once we won it at Indy, we waited another race or two before we won at Toronto. And after Toronto, it was like, Katie by the door, you know, here we go. So it was a pretty amazing year that really followed on in '87, you know, the next year.
The fact that you were able to have that success at Indianapolis, I mean, you had already established yourself as someone who was coming for a championship, coming for Indy 500 glory. What did drinking that milk, what did having your likeness added to the BorgWarner trophy, what did that '86 win do for you in terms of profile? Because I'll tell you what, you know, here we are 30 years later, and you're often introduced first as Indy 500 winner.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, if you know, I'd won, I don't know, I want to say six to eight races, I think, before. I won two, and 82, one 83, two, I think, in 84, 85, I won three. So whatever that all adds up to, about eight races, I guess. So I'd won, you know, I'd won races. I'd been on the, I'd led Indianapolis in 83 and in 85. Qualified on the outside of the front row in 85. So, I mean, we've been competitive and what have you, but there's nothing like, you know, I mean, winning that race is just, that's a whole different, you know, running up front and leading races, leading laps is one thing, but winning that race is totally different. And, you know, for us, it changed the world. You know, personally and professionally, it changes your life. It's, you know, there were probably other races that were more difficult to win, but as you said, I never get introduced as the winner of the Meadowlands, you know, 200.
New Jersey's finest IndyCar.
I won that race three times, right? You know, it's always about a four-time winner of Laguna Seca. I never get introduced to that. I only, or even three-time champion. They never say that first. They go, you know, he's 86, 8500, and oh, yeah, by the way, he won three IndyCar championships, you know? As if that was kind of secondary. So, for sure, it changes your life dramatically for the better, obviously. And, really, really something.
And how cool is it? I know this is a minor fact, but how cool is it? And I appreciate this as well, that Indianapolis Motor Speedway CEO Doug Bowles was citing your 86 car as really one of his first favorites at the event, and also pointing out the cool little nuance of the chromed roll hoop as well. I don't know if we can chrome carbon fiber, but I'd love to see someone try.
Yeah, that little chrome piece I think was standard. but that car looked fast and standing still, you know, and that was just one of those deals where when that car showed up, it looked like, you know, there had been more than 1 year between the evolution of that and the 85 car. It looked like there's about 5 years difference.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it just was that much difference, that much more. You know, I remember the guys always bitching about, you know, changing the springs in the front of the car because Adrian was always about making the car as small as possible. And of course, that was great for aero and everything else, but it wasn't great to work on. And everybody's bitching about it. But it was typical Adrian, and it was just like, okay, here's the profile of the car. How can we make it better? And that was all about making it smaller and more aerodynamic. And it was a wonderfully consistent car too. So I mean, it was when you look at that car, the 86 car versus the 86 Lola. I mean, it was there was no contest between the two.
It's the last question for you, Bob. You've got this kid of yours who's not so bad as well. How often do you bust out that the 86 Indy 500 winner's ring and let him look at it and get a sniff, you know, try and get the blood up a little bit to go get one of his own? Not like he hasn't been trying, but, you know.
I don't think I have to show him anything. I think he knows. although he wasn't alive then, but I think he has a pretty good understanding about it. And I have no doubt that one of these days he's going to win it. So he's been close. So I just got to, you know, hope he gets a race where everything works. And, you know, you have to have everything work in your favor. I don't care who you are. Hell, he's 27 years old. And I didn't even go to Indy until I was 29. So he's a rookie. So. He's got a lot of time on his side.
All right, well, let's not tell him that, though. Let's tell him he's behind the curve and he's got to get it done now.
Oh, no. I don't have to. He's impatient anyway, so he's ready.
And that was Bobby Rahal and his 1986 Indy 500 win. Again, short look there. We'll definitely do more in the future. If you get a chance, check out Facebook, Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Get plugged in. That way you will get all of the latest, newest podcasts. You can look through the archives of everything that we've put up so far. And as always, I'm Marshall Pruitt. Thanks for listening.